Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
And welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and with me, as always, is Tom and Melissa Gould, my co-hosts for the gathering show, which, as you know, is the first Thursday of every month. And this is a show where we field your questions, and we want to hear about your experiences and questions regarding the afterlife. Many of you have sent in emails relating personal experiences that you've had, and some questions have come in, but we'd love for you to call us and share or ask. And the number here is 888-627-6008. And how are you, Tom and Melissa? I know we were just talking that you're recovering from the grief retreat that unfortunately I couldn't attend for medical reasons, but everybody hardly noticed that I was not there. So you did a capable job. Thank you for that. The only thing I'll mention going on is our summer solstice raffle, where you can win a reading with one of five different FFF certified mediums. And you can enter that via our website. It's $5 a chance, and it helps the foundation raise some money. So I guess a good place to get started is to, I was just looking at my screen that seemed okay, here we go. Let's see the first one that came in, and we'll read these anonymously. I mean, you know, some things are pretty private. This person likes, I would like to share what happened after my only child, Ava, passed in November of 2020. She was 19. We continue to be as close as when she was embodied, and I'm inspired to share my proof of the continuation of love and life. My daughter, Ava, was at college in Tennessee when her fatal horseback riding accident happened. I was at our home in Connecticut when it happened. I got to the funeral home before noon the next day. I was led into the room where she was laid, and I walked to her side, and everything seemed to happen all at once. I touched Ava's arm, which felt like ice-cold marble. She opened her eyes and excitedly smiled and said, "Look what I did. Oh, back to sleep." I leaned over to hug her. My feelings were jumbled up between shock, awe, and abysmal depth at what just actually happened. I saw Ava's beautiful, sparkly eyes and felt her joyous energy for that brief and inexplicably occurring moment. I took it all in, and I didn't even begin to process or intellectualize what happened. I didn't tell anyone else because I wanted to hold on to all the energy and love for myself. I relived the memory of what happened over the next few days as I went through the process of doing all that comes with the end of life. To feel this over and over was my saving grace, and I know it was Ava's way of taking care of me. What happened between Ava and me is evidence of our joyous phenomena, divine grace, and the continuity of love. I know there is no veil, and knowing that is true enlightenment. That's kind of a wow, because I've heard, as you have, you know, hundreds upon hundreds and hundreds of accounts, you know, from people. But this I haven't heard before.
No, nor have I.
Yeah.
How wonderful to experience that.
Yeah. I mean, so I mean, when you try to look at it, you know, rationally, there is no rational explanation for it. But if our loved ones on the other side can manipulate things, you know, and move objects and so forth, I mean, why couldn't they make this happen too? So that's something that certainly changed this person's life, you know, forever. So it really is an incredible story.
Oh, I love it. Was it the mom who shared or the dad?
The mom.
That's so nice for her to have that memory.
Yeah.
If Ava's dad was in the picture too, that she, when she was ready to share, he could believe it, because it'd be like, oh, you know, I know you're in deep grief right now, but how amazing.
Yeah. Well, that is the crux of it though. You know, I mean, how many people can she tell, right? You know, they're going to think that she's, you know, just totally overwhelmed by her grief and she's imagining things and so forth, but she lived it and, you know, she knows it was real and it happened. So, and as she said in there, is that she just knew, she talked to her, I assume telepathically, you know, look what I did, you know?
Yeah.
So, that's really an incredible story. I appreciate this person sending it in.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. We have another one here. I haven't read some of these, so I'm reading them for the first time. My husband of 1 month short of 41 years, light of my life for 43 years, passed suddenly without warning or known health issues, suddenly almost 6 months ago. In mid-January one night when I was in deep despair, I got a message from someone I barely knew that I should grow a red flower, and that's how I would find him. So this person sent them her a picture of an amaryllis. I don't know much about flowers, but you do, I guess. And she said she ordered a pack from Costco. She put five of them in one pot on January 24th and said out loud to his picture that they say 6 to 8 weeks to bloom. And if I can have just one flower opening on February 14th, it would be magical. It would be 21 days. Until February 11th, there were still tight buds without color. By the 13th in the morning, I was losing hope that anything would happen. And suddenly, it seemed like they were changing every couple of hours. By nighttime, there were so many buds getting looser. Lo and behold, the first flower half opened on February 14th, and three fully opened by the end of the day. I was intoxicated without a drop of alcohol. It was a magical day. I then got three more amaryllis and planted one each. These said 6 to 8 weeks to start blooming, and I said, one time may be a coincidence, so show me the magic one more time. I won't question your presence again. Let one flower grow in 30 days. Then I will never question you being around. And again, the same thing happened. One bulb, smallest, least promising, suddenly took off, and I had a perfect flower on the 28th day. That was March 27th, and the others are still trying to catch up, and I think this is magical. So what I like about that account is that she replicated it.
Yes.
Because she didn't quite, you know, trust it. And then when it happened the second time, you know, that's what it took to convince her.
We've been told often that you should ask for specific signs. This is pretty specific, and it certainly came through.
Yeah. Let's go to a call before we go on to the next one. We have Mary from Georgia. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, how are you doing? Thanks for joining us. Did you have something to share?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Did you have something to share or had a question?
Well, I do have a question about a couple of things. I get a lot of signs from birds that I have in the yard. And recently I had put this gardenaire in my garden, and this cardinal is constantly going to it, and he pecks at it. Now, I kind of know naturally that's what he would do, but it's almost like he doesn't ever give up. And I didn't know if that was like a sign from a loved one, too, some kind of a message.
Well, as Tom was just saying, and, you know, and sometimes we ask for specific signs, and sometimes it's something that we don't ask for. And birds seem to be a very popular, you know, sign. It's, you know, it's not, we've discussed this before, but, you know, it's not as if the bird is your actual loved one, you know, reincarnated into
right.
a bird. It's that your loved one, you know, put the thought into the bird's consciousness to be there at that time when you needed it. Sure, you know, I would take it as a sign. Tom, Melissa, what do you?
Yeah, I think, you know, as you say, it was spirit, once it leaves the physical body, is pure energy, and energy can go into electrical equipment and that sort of thing, but also the brain is triggered by electrical impulses. So something mm-hmm. as basic as a bird, it seems to be possible for spirit to put in, affect the energy of the bird's mind or brain and make it do things that are out of the ordinary and in your sight. And that's right. one thing. So yes, it very well could be. The other thing is the fact that you thought that it might be is the sign. So if you
right.
think that's a sign from your loved one, by all means say, "Oh, is that you? Thank you so much. You know, I love you, and you know, please come back." And that would encourage more of that sort of thing to happen.
I agree with Tom, Mary. I think even just that your attention was captured by this bird, all of that is so significant.
Right. And it's really persistent. And my dad was really persistent man. So I always think, oh, that's dad. You know,
yeah.
that's him.
That's what I've heard. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Pardon?
I was going to say
I have a lot of experiences with them. One time, just shortly, I was real, very upset, and I came outside, and I was crying, and a flock, and I'm saying a small flock, like about 7 or 8 bluebirds came. Now, I have never seen more than 2 together, and I'm like a bird watcher, not officially, but I sit and watch the birds a lot, and I'm a retired teacher, so I have time on my hands, and I just couldn't, it was almost like they made me feel better.
Yes.
Because they took my attention to them. And I was like, oh, look at how beautiful they are. You know, and it lifted my spirit, so to say. You know, so I kind of connect with birds in that way, where I always think there's someone or something, a message that I'm getting.
Yes, and as you mentioned, your father was persistent in life, and apparently their personality is maintained when they cross over, so that it's consistent that he would be persistent with his signs as well.
Well, I hope you get a lot more birds and signs from your loved one, Mary, and thanks for calling.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's go to another call. We have Catherine on the line. Hello, Catherine.
Hi, how are you?
All right, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I actually sent you an email today. You might remember it. It was the day my dad died. A complete stranger gave me a picture of him the day
yeah.
he died. Do you remember that email?
I was about to read it, but why don't you tell it instead?
Well, okay, yeah, because I first of all, I'm in the medical profession, you know, I'm a nurse, and so, you know, I've always been to where you can more or less believe what you can tangibly touch and prove. And even though I'm a Christian, I didn't know that anything like this ever happened. And then the day that my dad died, it had been a long 3 weeks. I'll tell you a little bit about him. He was a professional photographer, and he had several careers over his life. He was actually the producer at the Real WKRP in Cincinnati. Remember, they had a show that was WKRP? Well, he was the producer at the Real one. And he had several jobs, but his passion and his love was photography. And that's why he was so good at it. I mean, he won tons of awards. He did the Miss America pageant. He had a huge studio in Shreveport. I mean, everybody knew who Cowan Studio was because I believe that he was so good at it because he truly loved photography. It was just his passion. And fast forward, 17 years, he had Parkinson's disease, and then he died of bladder cancer at 84, and it was just, crippled me. And it was a long 3 weeks, and the day that he actually finally did pass away, 3 days, he kind of held on even longer. And so finally that morning, I realized I had a prescription in my purse that was going to expire that day. And so on the way home from the hospital, he had just passed away at the hospice center. I stopped in at a pharmacy that I'd never been to before, even though it was a street bar. I'd never been there. And the pharmacist noticed that my eyes were red. And he said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Well, my dad just passed away. It's been a long 3 weeks." And so then she looked at my prescription and she saw what my maiden name was. And she said, is AC, blah, 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 your dad? And I kind of took me by surprise. And then I noticed all the pharmacy workers were like sobbing, crying. And I was like, what is going on, And she said, "Hang on just a minute. I have something for you." And she went to the back of the pharmacy and she came back and she handed me a picture, and it was all the pharmacy workers and my dad in the picture in the middle. Turns out that he had done some photography there a few weeks before he got sick, and he got in the last picture, and he just used to go up there every day to see them. And it was just the fact that a complete stranger, 2 hours after my dad died, hands me a photograph of all things, of a sign to use the thing that he loved more in this world. It was just a way that I know that he got word to me that, and a message to me that he was okay. And I mean, I'm telling you, I about passed out. But
wow.
That's where, that was the first one. And I have the picture here. I sent y'all a copy of it today. I have it by my bed. But I got several other really big ones from him also. And then, they just kind of kept happening. And then in 2017, my fiance died in my car in a terrible car crash. And I got so many miraculous signs and miracles from him that I caught him on film, and two of the pictures with angels in them went viral, and I ended up doing an interview on griefandmourning.com. Finally, I got the courage to put that day out there, because I have all these miracles on film that I just felt like could help other people that were so as broken as I was that day, and it's kind of become a passion for me. I'm actually now the administrator on a site called Signs from Your Loved Ones from Heaven, and it's a closed site, and there's tens of thousands of members, and my story and my pictures, and it's just it's just exploded. And then my mom died, and the same thing, these huge things were happening from her too. Two cardinals on the fence in her backyard, and the day of her funeral, a cross in the clouds, and a feather in her bed, like right when I moved in, and all these things, and I never knew that anything like this could ever happen. And so when I would never try to convince anybody of anything. I just strictly told them my story and what happened to me. And, I keep them in my Bible, so I've written everything down just about. But on the site, I have a lot of members ask me a lot, how can I put it into words why these things happened to me but haven't happened for them? And I don't really know how to answer that question.
Did you say you do know how, or you don't know how?
I don't.
Because we do have, that comes up a lot in some of the groups I'm in also. And I think Tom looks ready to have an answer for you. I think some people are just trying a little too hard. Yours kind of just came to you. But what do you think, Tom?
Well, this is probably the hardest question we get asked because, having just come from a grief retreat, we are in a room full of people who desperately want to get signs. And yeah, many of them don't see signs. Part of it could be that they, you know, they brush the feather away and they don't realize it's a sign. A lot of signs are very right. subtle. And I think it's wonderful that you are sharing your stories. I think that is very healing for a lot of people to know that it exists. And that's what we say when we're at the grief retreat for everybody there in the room, saying, you know, some people, we have mediums at our grief retreat, and we always say, well, some of you will get readings this weekend and some of you won't get readings this weekend, but to be in the presence of it, to know, to see it happen for someone else where it's not as satisfying, you want it for yourself, but the fact that you see that it happens, it does happen, it does exist, and it means that your loved ones are with you and around you and hear you when you speak to them, is the best answer we can give, that to go ahead and keep speaking to them, because they definitely hear you, and then hopefully they will be able to manifest something that will resonate with you as well here on Earth.
Well, thank you for sharing all this with us, Catherine.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Okay.
What's that?
I said, keep doing what you're doing.
I will. Yeah, it took a lot of guts to do that interview on Guidepost, but you know, yeah. I had to put the worst day of my life out there. But people can be cruel. But you know, I never got one negative comment. It was, you know, because I mean, I think I got a camera every time because I was so worried people were going to think I was crazy. You know, yeah. And so I wanted to get as much on film as I could. And then the pictures of the angels went viral, and the day of his funeral, I got a text from North Bethlehem. I mean, it was just huge signs, you know, like just really big yeah. ones. And that the thing, I just couldn't keep them to myself after a while because I figured that they would help some other people to be able to, you know, survive what I had to survive. And then it turned into the exactly. website, and it's grown, you know, so much.
Well, you're doing good work and keep doing it. And thanks for sharing it with us. And
I will.
And have a good
evening. I will.
Okay.
You too.
Take care.
You. Okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah. And that's another thing we hear a lot is people get a sign or something happens to them and they're afraid to tell anybody else because people are going to think you're crazy or they're going to say that you're doing something evil. And that shuts people down. But the more people open up and talk about it, I remember my mom, who was very active in her church after my dad passed, had a very striking sign from him. And when she went to her knitting circle with the other ladies in the church, she was reluctant to say anything, but she was so emotionally charged that she went ahead and told her story anyway to the other women in the circle. And instead of getting backlash, she got, oh, yes, I had that. Oh, and I had that. And people, as soon as you open the door, everybody says, yeah, I know what you're talking about. And so the more we open the door, the more we talk about it as being a normal part of life, the better it will be for everyone.
True.
Okay, let's have some calls. We'll keep taking them. Let's talk to Joanna. Hey, Joanna, are you with us?
I am, yes. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Did you have something that you'd like to share or a question?
Yeah, I have had people pass away in my life, and one particular person passed away, and I, in the middle of the night, was awakened by his, I swear, he called my name out. So I definitely believe that the signs are out there. And even speaking with his friend and his brother, they also kind of received some signs. But my question, so I'm open to this and I look for it and I'm very aware of energy. But recently, my cat of 18 years passed away. It was very sudden, and he was my companion. I'm single, yeah, no kids. He was my child. And I'm just curious, do pets, do animals give signs? Will they?
Yeah, they absolutely do. And very often in medium readings, especially dogs and cats, you know, come through, you know, and you can't, you know, people can't sometimes wrap their heads around it. Like, how could the medium understand what the pet is saying? But it's all telepathic, but it's telepathic communication, and they pick up on that as well. So, and sometimes the pets can give more meaningful messages than the human counterparts, you know, from the next world. So, you know, we think that everything that has consciousness, you know, survives into the next world. And, you know, if their consciousness survives, they're able to communicate that way, you know, to you. So, yes, absolutely. And, you know, it's been verified time and time after again by many, many mediums. Some mediums, by the way, are more adept at picking up messages from animals than others, and they'll tell you that. Yeah, I mean, when you think that your cat is trying to communicate with you, don't dismiss it. You just embrace it.
I agree with you, Bob. I do. Because when mediums connect with spirit, they don't typically say they're hearing words spoken. It's more the feelings, the energy, the essence. So it makes sense that it could be a beloved pet.
Well, that's really great to hear. Maybe.
Keep getting those signs.
Send me a mouse.
All right. And of course, when you were talking about, you know, hearing a voice, you know, it's hard to discern whether you're hearing it with your ears or you're hearing it telepathically, you know.
True. Yeah.
But I think telepathically is the most common explanation. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, we get the accounts from people who have had near-death experiences, and they go over to the other side briefly, and they talk about being told that it's not their time and they have to go back. And every one of them don't say, well, they weren't talking to me. It just sort of, I knew that that's what they were saying. So it's all telepathic. And we have mediums who speak only English, but somebody's grandmother who spoke only German comes through and they understand them. And so it's not a word for word kind of thing that mediums pick up on. It's more the energy and the telepathic messages. So yes, they can get it for in different languages. They can get it for pets as well.
Well, thanks, Joanna, for sharing.
Yeah, thank you all. Thank you so much.
All right, take care. Have a good evening.
All right, you too.
Okay, bye bye. Yeah, let's see some other ones that came in. My father, Lieutenant Colonel in Jefferson County, New York legislator Charles Weber, passed into spirit June 2000, only 6 months after a diagnosis of terminal lung cancer. On returning home from the huge brouhaha of his wake, military and Masonic funerals, I was exhausted. The family had been with him for months. We kept him home with hospice support, and he died with us surrounding him. My dad had been elected to the legislature in November and received his diagnosis shortly after, which was heartbreaking because he was so excited about serving. I never knew my father to be a particularly religious, although he insisted we go to church growing up and on all the army posts we lived on in the States and Europe. There was never any discussion in the home about God or anything remotely religious or spiritual, but he died with immense grace, just accepted his diagnosis in faith and had no fear, none. Like, although he never said so, he just knew where he was going. It was kind of weird, actually, because we, his wife and children, never ever talked about anything like that. And the day I returned to my home, I was outside on my front porch at dusk, leaning my head against one of the posts supporting the porch roof, not thinking about my father or anything else. I was just done in, worn out, and exhausted. And suddenly, and very distinctly, just to the right and behind me, I heard my father's voice. He called my name, only that and only once. It was his voice, clear as a bell. Without even thinking instinctually, without remembering he was dead, for Christ's sakes, I responded, "Yes, Daddy," I said out loud as I turned towards where I could hear his voice. I never saw or felt anything, and then I remembered it hit me. He was dead. That experience was just one I've had that convinced me of the continuation of the person after the demise of the body. I felt honored that he would come to me, his oldest but least favorite child. That was 23 years ago, but I have never forgotten it. I've asked him to come to me again. I talk with him all the time, but sadly I've had no other experiences of him. Still, I just know I will see him, be with him again. Yeah. Well, that's an amazing story, you know, and again with the voices. And I would say that apparently you were not his least favorite child. if he was getting through to you with that message to let you know. So I don't even think that. But yeah, I mean, I like the way, you know, you just turn to him as if he was there, or not even, you know, as you would in a normal conversation. So it really is amazing how these things happen, but so many people hear the voices, you know.
And that brings up a good point, too, that we get from a lot of people, that they say they got a sign, and in fact, after the passing, they got quite a few signs, and then they say, well, now it's been months, and I haven't gotten a sign again, and I want another sign, and all of that sort of thing. And Dr. Mohanna, who was a speaker at our grief retreat, talks about that in this way, that they see the bigger picture. They see you in your life. I mean, they go to the other side, which is an eternal existence. And we are only here on this planet for, you know, if we're lucky, 100 years, which is a blip in the time of eternity. So they know that you're going to join them soon. They also know that you've come to this earth plane for a purpose, and they realize that, you know, maybe if they keep giving you signs, it'll stop your own growth and what you need to learn and what you need to accomplish while you're here. And I think the last letter that Bob read was absolutely perfect, that the woman got a tremendous sign and wanted another one. However, what she said was, I know that he exists. I know that I will see him again. Once you get that message of knowing, then you really don't need another sign. They're nice, and if it happens, that's nice. But once you understand the big picture, that, you know, we're here briefly, if we have 20 more years or 30 more years, and that's a time in that we will then meet up again afterwards.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that, Tom.
Okay. Let's read another account that was sent in. My amazing dad passed away in 2019. When I last saw him, he was lying in his bed, seemingly unconscious, but appearing very content and peaceful. I knew he could hear me, and I spoke to him of everything I wanted to say. My husband later told me that it was the most powerful thing he had ever heard. I felt I was channeling everything I needed to say for a goodbye. I also told my dad to send us signs from the other side and assured him we would see him on the other side one day and that everybody he loved was waiting for him on the other side. About 8 months later, I accidentally injured myself in an accident that turned out to be serendipitous because it was discovered that I had a very early stage cancer. Without the accident, it would have been undiscovered for quite some time. I wondered if there was an angel on my shoulder that propelled me into being injured. After seeking second opinions from very highly ranked organizations in Seattle, I chose instead to trust my excellent surgeon in Tacoma. However, I was nervous and kept asking for internal guidance. On the day before the surgery, my husband and I went to our favorite waterfront park and had a snack at a picnic table. And suddenly a crow alighted close to us. It was extremely cute. And I had never in my life seen a cute crow before. It also sat and seemed to talk and chat with us in a friendly way for about 10 minutes. We had never had such an experience and spoke to the crow a bit too. We were eating Cheez-Its, my dad's favorite cracker. We never feed birds, but I felt I should set a Cheez-It out for the crow. The crow ate the Cheez-It slowly and with what seemed like great appreciation in the manner my dad had in the months before passing. Our visit with the crow and our friendly goodbye to the crow left me feeling happy and somehow assured that proceeding with the surgery the next day was the right path. The surgery went very well, and I will never forget the encounter with the very companionable and friendly crow.
Oh, I love that story.
Well, there you go.
Oh, amazing.
And there's another important tidbit in that story. And with everybody who gets signs, the first thing that most people do when they get a sign is their brain is telling, you're just imagining, it's just something else. And it's your own mind, your own brain that's telling you this, that you tend to start to believe it. Yeah, you're right. It was nothing. But what's important, what I heard in this story was, the line, it made me feel very happy. So forget about what your brain is trying to rationalize when you get these feelings. Just think about how your heart is reacting, how it makes you feel. And if it makes you feel good, that's what's important.
Good point.
So, I mean, we do have some questions that have come in, but let me kick this around with you and see what your thoughts are. So I wrote an article this morning and I entitled it, What Would It Take? So, you know, I noticed that I was watching some silly movie and the premise of the movie was that we knew that a gigantic meteor was going to hit the Earth and destroy it. So everybody on Earth knew that they had only one day left before the media hit, you know, so you would think that would cause everybody to drop their ego and their greed and everything and unite and show compassion. But of course, that's not what happened, you know. So it started to make me think what other things, like let's say that, you know, the aliens were approaching, you know, and then the aliens landed in all over the world in public places, you know, and they came out and said that they were. They wanted to help us. They were going to give us cures for diseases and things like that. So then everybody would still question it. You know, it's a trap. It's a conspiracy. It's a magic trick. You know, I mean, what would it take to unite, you know, everybody together? So then I thought about everybody talks about the people that don't believe in a divine power or God, and he asked a lot of people, what would it take? And they said, well, if God appeared before me, then I would believe it. You know, so I thought about that, you know, so I said, all right, so God appears, you know, in the middle of a giant stadium, you know, and How would God prove that he's God? You know, I mean, is he going to start performing miracles? And, you know, would he want to? I mean, even that, you know, would not unite people, which brings us to the afterlife, because everybody's talks about proof. So what would be something? Now, what we've been talking about for years is all these things that are not absolute proof, but strongly point to life after death. And I'm trying to come up with something that would absolutely be undeniable proof to the masses. And I just can't come up with anything. Can you?
I think this is a great, question to pose to our listeners. If you still have the newsletter going on, or maybe some of your online writing places, your blog and so forth. I would love to hear people toss this around and think.
You know, ultimately, though, what we've found, right, is that the people that are the most convinced are the people that had these experiences that we're talking about tonight, right? The personal experiences, maybe some might not think they're profound, but they were certainly profound to them, you know, and then some others are truly, so amazing, you know, and Martin Tom was talking about near-death experiences and so forth. So, but I know that we end the radio show all the time, and, you know, and we said, you know, loved ones are always a heartbeat away, and science is going to prove it. And the years go by and science hasn't proved it yet, but I don't think we'll ever see, just like with the other things I mentioned, I don't know that we'll see absolute proof. The proof comes, as Tom said, you know, from the inside, you know, what your heart is telling you, right?
It's definitely a personal thing, and people won't believe it until it hits them personally. I mean, you would think that something like a virus that was killing thousands of people every day would bring everybody together, but we saw how that happened. But, I want to point to there's something in 2012. If people remember, there was this whole talk about the end of the Mayan calendar, that the Mayan calendar had a 2,000 year cycle, and it ended on 2012, and there was a new cycle beginning. And of course, people waited until midnight of 2012, and when the clock struck midnight, they say, well, nothing's different, so I guess that's hooey. But really, if you have a 2,000-year cycle, it's not going to be it's like watching the tide change. You're not going to see, you know, the tide changes and does it every 12 hours, but you don't actually see it. If you sit and watch it, you know, you could come back 5 minutes later and go, oh, it must be going out. Well, the new age that supposedly launched on 2012 is an age of awareness, where we are coming into an age of awareness, whether it's going to take 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, I'm not sure until it's noticeable. But apparently part of the new awareness is that we will all have mediumistic abilities, that we will be more open and aware of our spiritual surroundings. And that's what it would take when everybody is being directly spoken to by one of their spirit guides or one of their past loved ones.
Yeah, sort of a shared experience for everybody.
Yes.
At the same time.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Sounds like you're working on another book.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a novel in mind, but I'm not a novel writer, and that takes a lot of work. That's a long-term project. I don't know if I have it in me. This is a question that has been asked before. You know, do people in the afterlife have the ability to change the course of events in our world? I think they certainly, we have many accounts where they've prevented accidents from happening and or
created an accident that we had earlier on with the person who got
an
injury and found out that they needed extra help. That certainly could have been a spiritual nudge to wake them up to their real concern.
Yeah, I think that the people on the other side who are still connected to it's more on a personal level that they have an interest in our lives. You know, it's not on a global scale like they're going to stop wars or they're going to prevent tragedies from happening. But even though that doesn't happen, just locally to the ones that they love, people get messages, turn right instead of left. Yeah. And then they avoid disasters, whereas we heard tonight, sending signs, in the form of birds, or whatever, or manifesting their voice. So I think that they can, because the people say, well, why don't they just stop, people, fighting each other? Well, that's based on, political ideology and ego and greed and power. And, it's not going to change that until, like Tom says, everybody has like this shared spiritual experience. Maybe it's coming.
But. And again, back to the big picture that, they shouldn't interfere in your life process, because your life process is to experience things. Even if it's something as horrible as war, you came to this earth to experience something like that. And maybe in the midst of war, you're helping somebody else, or, you can find good to do in a day-to-day situation in the most horrible of situations. So, yeah. Whereas, yes, we'd all love it if spirit would stop people who are greedy and ripping people off and doing bad things to other people. But yeah, spirit can see it happening and spirit probably could stop it. But if they stop it, they're interrupting our progress. So it's
true.
One of the first things people do when they lose a loved one is say, if there's a God, why would they do that to me or to us? Mm-hmm. And you have to say, well, because you don't know the whole story yet.
It's your journey, and sadly, this is part of your journey. I was struck when you talked about disasters, recalling how Dave Kane spoke at the retreat over the weekend about his son Nicky, and how after the events that took Nicky's life, he heard from so many people how Nicky was helping others get out of this disastrous situation. And it was just so, one person's put in someone in the place where they're most needed. We don't know what we have in store for us or what we're meant to be doing unless we get to experience it.
We don't have a lot of time, but let's squeeze in one more call. We have Hal from Maine. Hello, Hal.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, how are you? Thanks for calling.
Is this Hal?
Yes, thank you. go ahead. Yes, it's Hal from this weekend.
Oh, hi, Hal.
So nice for you to call in.
Hi, how are you? Thank you. The question I have is really not about me showing a sign, but more if you believe in the afterlife, how this whole perception of what happens, that we're only here for a purpose and then we leave. This may not be the right show for that, but could you give some insight to that?
Well, I mean, the explanations are just, you know, of a spiritual nature. I mean, there are those who believe that we don't find out any meaning and purpose to our lives until we move on to the next realm. You know, it's how we react to all of the obstacles that are put before us and the love and the compassion that we showed, you know, from others to others. I mean, I we've discussed it. I always thought it was, in a way, it was, we couldn't figure out, you know, when we talked about reincarnation, you know, if you believe in reincarnation, you come back because you have lessons to learn, but yet you don't have any memory of what those lessons are that you should be learning. You know, but the explanation is on a higher level, on a soul level, like this oversoul, which is a combination of many lifetimes. It knows, you know, what you need to complete your soul. So, I mean, I think what you're really asking is what is the meaning and purpose to our physical life, right?
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough one. And so many people don't think that there's any meaning and purpose because everything's so random, but the randomness becomes organized in another dimension, you know, and you know, as we talked about with near-death experiences where people have these life reviews and they see everything that happened in their life, good and bad, and they get to experience the love and compassion and good deeds that they did for others, and that feels great. And at the same time, they don't feel so good when they're reviewing, you know, the harm and sadness that they may have either consciously or unconsciously, you know, bestowed upon others. And we believe that that's sort of what the afterlife is like. You know, you wind up in a place of like-minded people, but there's always progression. So this physical existence is the only blip in a continuum of life where everything appears to be random and chaotic. You know, it's like I told this story a couple of times before, but I'll tell it again. One of the great shamans in the world described life here as being at a football game. And when you're sitting at the ground level seats, great seats, but you hear all the grunts and you see the violence and all the sounds that go with it. But not until you move to the very, very top row of the stadium do you see all the patterns. And that always resonated with me because it's very hard for us to see meaning and purpose while we're immersed in this world, which can be pretty cruel at some, you know, sometimes, as well as, you know, joyful. But I think that it all comes together in the next life.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And thank you guys for this weekend. I just want to put an ad in here for you guys that it really, if any of your listeners haven't been to one of your retreats, it really pays to do so because we really learned a lot and it made me a believer. So I just wanted to thank you all.
Thank you, Hal.
Thank you.
Thanks, Hal. Sorry I didn't get to see you. Maybe I'll see you to the next one.
No problem. Maybe. Okay. Take care.
Take care. Bye. Yeah, bye-bye. Okay, so now you have your retreat friends calling you, yeah. Right?
How lovely is
that? Yeah, he was a real good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you must have mentioned the radio show.
Yeah, in the intro, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So we're just about out of time. Anything else that you'd like to say?
I think I might like to remind everybody that our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Thank you, and good night, everyone. We'll talk to you next month.